Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the burgeoning Matthew Henry. How you doing, Matthew?
Ooh, burgeoning. Like burgeoning. Growing, like getting bigger.
Yeah, getting stronger.
Yeah, I like that. It's not like fatter, but like just like no. Growing, well, like getting like more, like I'm growing in a positive way.
I mean,
burgeoning.
It could be if that's what our listeners are into. Listeners, Matthew's getting bigger.
That's not what I
like it.
I've actually been working harder on less burgeoning. And
no,
so
that's not happening. You're burgeoning. I'm sorry. You're burgeoning. Either he's getting swole or he's getting chonk or he's getting smarter. Whatever you like, listener.
Okay.
Whatever you like. You're getting more Matthew.
All of the above. All of the above.
Yeah.
I like swole. I don't use that word enough. I think I need to be more swole.
Yeah. I don't really talk about the influencers on the show, Matthew, but there's this one influencer who often shows up on my Instagram feed around 3 o'clock in the morning. And he's this big, swole white dude with long hair.
Uh-huh.
And he turns and he points right at me and he says, go to sleep. 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 And he does all of these like karate moves while he's doing it. And he's talking to me.
And he's not wrong. You know what, Matt? Yeah, he's not wrong.
No, I do. I do. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, crap. He got me again. And I got to think that at some point Instagram's going to notice and they're going to stop showing them to me, but they don't. They don't because they're like, they can't, you know, I'm like their drug.
Yeah.
They're like, he watches the post all the way through.
I've been trying to be more burgeoning lately. I've been trying to be more swole, as the kids say. And but the problem is that when I think about it, like, oh, remember, you got to do what it takes to get swole. Then I think, not today.
Yeah, well, that's his other thing, actually. Same dude. He's like, you don't go to the gym because you're weak.
This is true.
I go to the gym. He says, I go to the gym, especially when I don't want to. I don't know why I'm pumping this guy up. You know what? I'm going to have to look him up. By the end of the show, that's the trivia question. What's the name of the influencer that Ben's talking about? It's not Willie Mays. It's not Hunter Pence.
It's not Tsuyoshi Shinjo?
It's not Tsuyoshi Shinjo. It's not Rickard Fanaita.
All right, but you know what else is burgeoning?
What else is burgeoning?
Giant cocktails.
That's right. That's the reason I put the word in
that's
there.
Right. Okay, good.
I remember
there
now.
There is a tie-in. Okay.
Yeah, there is a tie-in. There is a tie-in.
It wasn't about the guy that's waking you up or telling you to go to bed at 3
a.m. No, it's not about the weird influencer, the gym guy telling me to go to sleep. No, that's right, Matthew. Giant cocktails is expanding. It's burgeoning.
It's getting bigger.
Whoa.
Giant cocktails. Swole.
We're both flexing right now, folks.
Yeah, we're both flexing. I really got my wrists curled.
Oh, I
got
to curl my wrists more. Yes.
Yeah. We're swole.
How do I make my biceps look bigger? Bigger. I don't.
That's right. We're going to have the Monday edition of Giant Cocktails. Oh, no, that's not what I'm supposed to say first. This is what I'm supposed to say first. We agreed about this. I was very adamant about it.
And then you just totally, like, you wrote it down.
I was lecturing you. This is the way we're going to say it. And then I screwed it up. Maybe you should say it. What's happening, Matthew?
We are launching a new podcast that is going to be all about cocktails.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. And what's it called? We don't know. But
that's the unnamed cocktail show.
It is coming in sometime in April, we hope.
That's right. That's right. I'm pretty sure 3 weeks is long enough, so that means I can definitely get it done. I can get the pumps primed in April.
That's right. So what that means is that our happy hour episode that we talk all about the cocktails is not necessarily ending, but it's moving. It's going to be moving to its own home where we will do 1 week of Happy Hour, or one episode a week of Happy Hour, that will most likely tie into the drinks that we drink on this episode or on this podcast. But then we'll also be Ben teaching you all about cocktails and the cocktail making process. So that's exciting. But what that means for Giant Cocktails is that we're not going to go back to one episode a week.
This, by the way, was the thing that Matthew was supposed to say first.
Well, okay.
We also agreed on that.
Well, whatever. Okay, whatever. But
basically, this means that neither of us can follow directions.
So, agreed. Okay. But what that means is that Giant Cocktails is burgeoning two baseball episodes a week.
That's right. We are now going to be... So basically, you don't have to do anything. Nothing's going to change for you except what we talk about on Thursdays. So we are now going to be dedicating our Thursday shows to baseball. It's all going to be about the Giants. It's probably going to run the same length as the Happy Hour episodes do, but instead of talking about cocktails, we're going to be talking about the San Francisco Giants. We're going to be talking about Bob Melvin's best moves in the last three games. We're going to be talking about his dumbest moves in the last three games. We're going to be talking about...
like who's hot and who's not. And we're going to be talking about all the things that came up in the last few games and what we can look forward to over the next few games before we get to our Monday episode. That's and right. And so we've got lots of Giants content that, moves us one step closer to competing with Ben Caspick.
That's right. That's right. Giant, your favorite team, 2 days a week.
Maybe that'll be our tagline. We'll be like twice a weekers. What you can look forward to next is
that almost sounds like tweakers. Hey, tweakers.
Maybe we'll just shorten it to tweakers.
Maybe we'll just take it to tweakers. That's right. Be a Giant Cocktails tweakers and listen to baseball content every Monday and Thursday on Giant Cocktails. And yes, as Matthew said, Happy Hour will not be going away. It's going to go on hiatus, but we didn't really want it to be that way. That's just sort of just how it's working out. Happy Hour is going to go on hiatus, but it's going to reappear on our new cocktail show, and we'll let you all know about that when that's ready.
And we will be talking about cocktails on Giant Cocktails. We will still open up each episode with a cocktail. Well, the Monday ones will be tied into what we're talking about on the new podcast on the other channel. But the Thursdays will be just, random cocktails that we feel like drinking that day. And I think that's going to be fun too, because, sometimes we're in the mood for something that other than what we've been working on for Giant Cocktails. And this will allow us to just kind of say, hey, I'm drinking an old fashioned today, or hey, I'm drinking a daiquiri today. And we can repeat cocktails and we can just do our favorites and it'll be fun. We're just drinking and talking Giants.
That's right. Maybe I'll drink a Suffering Bastard for every Thursday that we're under 500.
Don't see you. You say these things and you commit to them. And then like halfway through, you're like, why did I do that? So don't commit to that.
Don't commit to the bit.
Don't commit to being to drinking a Suffering Bastard every every 500.
I said maybe. Wow. Listen to you, Mr.
I'm trying to protect
Nancy.
You. I'm trying to save you from you.
What you're saying is you think the Giants are going to be under 500 a lot this year. That's what you just said. You just said they're going to suck.
It could happen. They've been hovering around the 500 mark for the last couple of years. And so I just I'm worried that you could be like a real suffering bastard by the middle of the season.
Suffering Bastard's a decent cocktail.
It is a decent cocktail.
All right. Well, I think we've nailed that. We've hammered that one. We've hammered that rusty nail into the coffin.
That's right. Maybe you need a penicillin.
Maybe I do need a penicillin.
Which we would drink on probably on a Thursday episode.
What I need is a tetanus shot. Is there a cocktail called the tetanus shot? Oh. There probably is. It's probably a shot. All right. But anyway, Matthew, based on all of that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
If your best friend gets married and moves to the suburbs, are they dead? I mean, to you.
So you're assuming that we're living in the city and they are moving to the suburbs? Is that kind of the analogy?
Yeah, I'm saying
here?
That happy hour is getting married and moving to the suburbs. Happy hour found somebody else. Happy hour is moving to the suburbs. And I'm asking, are they dead? Is happy hour dead to us?
See, when we were growing up and before social media, I would say, yes, absolutely. They're dead because there would be no way to like interact with your friend, right? They'd be gone. They might as well moved like around the world. But with social media and this wonderful invention called the internet, I don't think so. You can maintain relationships that way. You could subscribe to the new episode. You could put in an effort to check in on your best friend every week. So there's so many ways that you could do that. And so, no, I don't think they're dead. I think that they're evolving.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I think. I'm going to say I know. The definitive answer to this is no. And if you don't subscribe to our show, then you're a bad person. And that's the end of discussion. Anyway, today is Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Woo!
As we record this podcast, the San Francisco Giants did a bunch of things this past week, including, most notably, getting rained out again in Arizona. Like, what the F, Arizona? You even rained on the Prospects breakout game.
I was really looking forward to that, by the way.
Like, you just, like, what is the matter with you, Arizona? Look, Arizona, I already know what's the matter with you. You've been in the news a lot the last 4 years. And, like, get your act together. But seriously, the one thing that you're good at, the one thing that you're good for is being hot and stealing other people's water because you don't have any. Kind of like Southern California. And what do you do? What do? You just let it rain? You just let it rain. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the rain, man. They've been rained out three more times than the Giants were rained out in San Francisco last year, which was zero, Matthew. As you told me. And that's really, I've had it with Arizona. I've had it with spring training. This whole thing is a bunch of BS. Can we come back to San Francisco and just play baseball?
Pretty soon. Yeah. Spring training is nearing the end, Ben.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And, yeah, so I guess, but things are happening, Matthew. Things are starting to come together. We're starting to see things crystallize.
Yes.
But we're also starting to see some things that maybe we don't like.
I think.
Like.
Oh, like what?
Like our ace, number two in the Cy Young voting for last year. His ERA is like 9.
Yeah, you know, it's spring training, Ben. Spring training stats don't matter.
That's what we said 3 weeks ago. But I'm starting to wonder if that's still true. I'm getting a little antsy. We're going to talk about that again. We talked about it at the beginning of spring and we said, that's it. Don't worry about it. But now I'm worried about it.
All right. Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about it. But then you know what else we're going to talk about, Matthew?
Absolutely nothing else.
Nothing else. Well, no, like it's getting closer and closer to opening day. So we got to get the 26-man roster nailed down. But here's the thing, Matthew. We feel like it feels pretty strongly like there's a bunch of dudes who are not on the 40-man roster who need to be on the 26-man roster.
Yeah, that means there's going to be some comings and goings.
That's right, because in order to be on the 26-man, you have to be on the 40-man, and there can only be 40 men.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty... Well, oh, why did you say that? There's one. Yes, there's a loophole. And the loophole is you have to be really hurt.
Yes. Which we have a few of those too.
So. We have a few of those. But the bad news is, I guess the bad news is one of our guys who was supposed to be really hurt isn't as hurt as we thought he was going to be. And now he's probably going to be on the 40-man roster sooner than we thought. So we have one spot less than we thought we did. Yay! Or boo? I don't know.
We'll talk about yay or boo later.
This is why I hate spring training. Like, right, can we just get to the baseball season when it's like 26 men and who cares about the rest? But anyway, we're going to talk about the stupid 40-man roster. And who needs to go and who needs to get on it.
And if there's time, We're going to talk about how many Negronis Ben is going to drink after opening day.
There's not going to be enough time, so I'll just say it right now. One. That's it. One. All right.
All right. Well,
time for the trivia question.
Okay. Trivia. So today's trivia question is based on the fact that we have a starting rotation that is still in flux. If you look at like the Athletic, for example, when they put out their projected 40 man, they're still including like Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery as like options for the starting rotation. So that got me thinking. When was our last, like, went back to our World Series years, and I thought, let's go back to 2014. So going back to 2014, the pitching rotation to start the season consisted of Matt Cain, Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Ryan Vogelsong, and 24-year-old Madison Bumgarner. But there were two other pitchers that had at least 12 starts during the 2014 season. Can you name them? And also, bonus trivia question is, can you also name the only other pitcher to make a start that year? And they made exactly one start that year.
Cueto, Samardzija.
No, those were like a little bit further along the timeline.
Oh, those were from the 2016 and 2018 World Series team. I forgot.
That's right. In that alternate universe where even year just kept going.
That's what they were trying to do.
That's true.
It's also what they were trying to do when they traded to get Andrew McCutchen and so many other things, which is why the minor league system was so bad. Anyway, sorry. That's not the question you asked. So I'm going with Cueto and Samardzija, even if you said they're no.
Okay.
No, I'm going with Samardzija and Cueto. That's my answer. And the other guy to start was who is one of the other best pitchers that we've had from that era? Pablo Sandoval.
Oh, that would be a good one. All right. So we will see how wrong Ben is at the end of the episode.
Enough with the banter. Let's talk cocktails.
Oh, right, Bob. All right. Thank you. Whose turn is it to go first now?
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Oh, right. Thank you. It is my turn to go first this week. Okay. Well, Bob, I'm drinking an original cocktail that I'm calling the Gin Blossom. What's in a gin blossom? It's got 1.5 ounces of gin. A floral gin would be preferred over a London Dry. 1/2 ounce of Dom Benedictine. 3/4 ounces of lemon juice. 1/2 ounce of lemon simple syrup, or simple syrup if that's all you've got. And 2 dashes of Peychaud's bitters. You would put all those ingredients into a cocktail shaker with ice. You're going to shake for 15 seconds, double strain into a chilled coupe glass, and garnish with a lemon twist. And what you get is a very floral and lemony drink that is quite lovely. So that's what I'm drinking today, Bob, the Gin Blossom.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail.
It really is, Bob. Thank you.
What are you drinking, Ben?
No.
No?
No. I mean, thank you for asking, Bob. That's very kind of you. No.
Are you saying that you're not drinking the drink that you drank on Happy Hour on Thursday?
I'm saying I don't want to admit that I'm drinking the drink that I drank on last Thursday, which is the classic, the sophisticated, the ever popular, the never ending, the bottomless Long Island iced tea. What's in a Long Island iced tea, you might ask? And I will tell you. Okay, here we go.
Take a deep breath.
3/4 of an ounce of vodka, 3/4 of an ounce of white rum, 3/4 of an ounce of gin, 3/4 of an ounce of Blanco tequila, 3/4 of an ounce of orange liqueur. I use Cointreau, 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup, 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, and a splash of Coca-Cola. Combine the vodka, the rum, the gin, the tequila, the Cointreau, the simple syrup, and the lemon juice in a mixing glass without ice. and then stir gently to combine. Or you could box it with the serving vessel. If you know, you know. If you don't, look it up. Then you pour that into your serving vessel, which should be a highball glass filled with ice. And then you top it with Coca-Cola and you garnish it with an Oreo because you deserve it, you wonderful person. Why an Oreo? Well, you're going to have to listen to last Thursday's show to find out. Last Thursday's show was pretty good. Second to last happy hour. Sad.
Second to last giant cocktails happy hour.
Yeah. Second to last giant cocktails happy hour. Happy hour is not going away. It's not dying. It's moving. And that's what I'm drinking today, Bob. The Long Island iced tea.
That's a tasty cocktail.
It is, Bob. It's not.
Bob doesn't have really much taste, to be honest. So.
No, he doesn't. Bob, it's just not bad. It's drinkable. It's potable. You know, it's potable. How's your water? Potable. How's your iced tea, Ben? Potable. It's got a lot of booze in it, too. That's why you drink it. But I drank it, Matthew, because of my month of sweetness. My month of positivity. My month of acting like I'm somebody who I'm not.
Well, that's
in praise of Farhan Zaidi. And that continues. So, I am very positive, Matthew. I'm very confident that Logan Webb's 9 ERA is fine. I'm very confident that a guy they just signed as an afterthought is going to be just fine as our opening day shortstop. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm fine too, I think. But I remember on our first episode after spring training started, and we lost like the first few games and we hadn't won, and we were talking about, we both said that spring training stats don't matter.
Is that what we said? Did we say that?
We did say that.
Were we smarter back then?
No, we weren't. And I think we need to amend that. I think we need to amend that. Because spring training stats don't matter until they do. We didn't put that little caveat at the end, and I think we didn't.
That sounds like you just put an asterisk on there.
Yeah. Well, and I will say,
I'm a Giants fan, Matthew. I don't believe in asterisks.
Well, let's talk about Logan Webb. So spring trainings don't matter to establish major league players like Logan Webb. Okay. They just don't, because he's got a track record. We know what he can do over 162 games or 30 something starts. We know what he can do. So I don't think a 9 ERA in spring is really all that worrisome for someone like Logan Webb. Because he, you know, the guy finished second in the majors in the Cy Young Award, in the National League, in the Cy Young Award voting. He pitched the most innings of any player in the National League last year. I have no qualms about Logan Webb. He is smart enough. It's not like you get bad all of a sudden after his track record. So he's going to be fine.
You're saying that I should pay more attention to the four innings of dominating, scoreless pitching filled with strikeouts than that one inning where he got tagged for three runs.
Well, right. Because that's a good point, because it is a small sample size. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two is that what I thought was interesting this weekend is that Logan Webb was not lined up to start on Sunday. Or he was not supposed to start anyway. And he did. And I feel like, and you go back and look at the articles, Maria Guardado on MLB.com, he was quoted as saying that he wanted to get back out there because he felt like he needed some things to work on. And then he did. And so I don't feel like, I feel like that's classic Logan Webb, right? He's like, no, this is not good. I haven't been pitching the way I should pitch. And he wanted to go out there and work on some things and get it right. And he did. So I am not worried about Logan Webb. Logan Webb is going to be just fine. He's going to be, I mean, today's on Sunday, his, you know, with 9 strikeouts and 0 walks or whatever it was, that's pretty damn impressive. And I think he's going to be fine, Ben. He's going to be fine. So just take some deep breaths. He's okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. I mean, you say that, but like, I'm looking around. I'm looking around my closet and there's nobody to hang on to. There's nobody. Like, I'm worried. I'm worried about Logan Webb. I'm worried about that 9 ERA. I mean, like,
I think if you had looked at other players like Jordan Hicks or, and looked at them and say, oh my God, they're doing poorly. That would have been different, right? Because we don't have a track record on those guys.
Right.
But that goes back to, it doesn't matter until they do, right? It doesn't matter because someone who's established as our number one starter, you don't care what they do in spring training. It doesn't matter.
I gotcha. So what you're saying is that we've seen Logan Webb do this over entire season.
Right. Going back to 2021, we're like 3 years into this.
Right. Where he appeared out of nowhere. I mean, out of nowhere to us, right? As maybe as fans, but not out of nowhere from the Giants organization. And so we know that what he can do in the long run. And so the thing that should make us worry the least is the beginning of spring training, which is sort of like, who cares?
Right.
Right. Like, I do think it is telling that he felt like he needed to go back out there, and he did, and they let him, and you know what? He was pretty good. He was very good for a significant period of time, and then I think what he faulted today was he just felt like his high-leverage situations, he was just not making good pitch selection.
Yeah.
Which is less about execution and more about, you know, maybe not going with what your catcher was telling you to go with. Or what the bench was telling you to go.
Yeah, I also wonder, at that point, like, scouting reports aren't as thorough on guys in the minor in the spring training and things like that. He'll have much better, you know, information on, like, how to get a hitter out once you get into the major.
He'll probably put a lot more credit into when the catcher makes a call and he's going to be like, oh, maybe I should think about this a little bit more deeply because the catcher is calling for something that seems a little, like, not what I would necessarily go with. Yeah, no, I'm not really worried about Logan Webb at all, but I do think it is at least something worth pointing out, right? And I do think it does call out that whole point, which is like, do spring training stats matter? And we're saying with Logan Webb, no, they don't. I mean, it would matter if he was going out there every single time and just getting completely lit up. And what's happening here is he's actually pitching very dominant, and then he's having one or two bad stretches. And I don't think that's indicative enough to say he's bad, right? If he was never doing anything good, right?
Right.
Then it would be a bigger question mark. But we've seen him perform consistently in the past, and that's why spring training stats don't really matter. We've seen this with Yaz, like, pretty much every spring.
Right.
In fact, it worries me a little bit because Yaz's spring hasn't been as bad as usual. Should I be worried about that, Matthew? I'm worried that Yaz's spring has been too good.
This is where we start to overthink things
and prove prove that it doesn't matter. But there is a guy whose spring has been very bad, very, very bad,
and combined with his competition being very, very good,
right?
And this is,
well, and it's not only his spring that's been bad, it was
last 2
years. It was his winter, which nobody wants to acknowledge. Although Andrew Baggerly finally acknowledged that Marco Luciano did play winter ball and it did suck. Finally, a reporter mentioned his winter ball stats and acknowledged they were bad.
Yes.
So, yeah, Marco Luciano. And I think this is the yin to the yang, right? Like, this is the other point. Do spring training stats matter?
Well, they only matter when you're trying to win a job. right? I mean, I think that there's those players that are coming to camp knowing that they have to have a good spring in order to make the roster. And Mark Aluciano and his 080, his 2-for-25 spring training.
Whoa, two?
Yeah, he got a hit this last week.
What? That means he's 1-for-5 since he was 1-for-20. I saw that he was 1-for-20, and now you're telling me he's 2-for-25?
That's what I'm saying.
He's 1-for-5, Matthew.
Okay, well, then maybe the Giants will look at it that way, too, and maybe he makes the roster.
That's a hit a day. That's what Tony Gwynn used to say. Just get a hit a day. A hit a day. All I have to do is hit 200, and then I'll get extra hits, and they'll add up. That was what Tony Gwynn said.
That's what he said. But I don't think that Marco Luciano is quite at the Tony Gwynn stage yet.
No.
But who's been hitting like Tony Gwynn is Nick Ahmed.
Nick Ahmed has been hitting better than Tony Gwynn.
Nick Ahmed has been the best hitter in Giants camp this spring. That, folks, is how you come in and win a job. Right? I mean,
that is right.
Because he's already a 2-time gold glove winner at shortstop. And his only question mark was, could he hit enough? And he's come in and he's hit 500 with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs in 20 at bats and has, I think, dispelled all thoughts. So to the point where everyone just assumes that Nick Ahmed is going to be the starting day shortstop. And the reason we assume that is because nobody else in line, not Casey Schmidt, not Otto Lopez, no one has hit like Nick Ahmed, and no one has the track record of a proven major league shortstop like Nick Ahmed does. And so in this case, Ben, spring training stats do matter. Nick Ahmed, I think, has won the job based on how he has played this spring.
Right, absolutely.
Well, I think, combined with how Luciano has also played this spring. Because if Luciano was batting this, then the Nick Ahmed would be a footnote.
Yeah, I think if Luciano's hitting 500 with 2 home runs, then we probably don't care that Ahmed's hitting 500 with 2 home runs.
Right?
Yeah. Nobody would care. But when you compare the two together, suddenly spring training stats do matter. But as you said, it's also about the context and the longevity and what these people have proven before. Nick Ahmed has won 2 gold gloves, broke Brandon Crawford's streak. And it's not like Brandon was bad, because Brandon won another one after Nick Ahmed's 2.
Right?
So Nick Ahmed is a great defensive shortstop. I think easily the best defensive shortstop in camp. But then he comes out and he's hitting 500 with 2 home runs in spring training. And you're like, okay, you can set back and take a relax. You can relax a little bit. Because one of the big questions for Ahmed in the past, which is like, why did the Diamondbacks let him go? Well, it's because he was hurt.
Yeah.
And he wasn't hitting at all. And his defense was not so great. And that's all probably related to the fact that his shoulder was hurt. Well, now he's like a Conforto, but 1 year removed from that injury. And it wasn't as bad as Conforto's. Although I guess maybe it was. We don't really know, because Conforto took that year off because of business reasons, not because of shoulder reasons. But the point is that, yes, when you look at the larger context of everything, Ahmed has 2 gold gloves in his history. He has a history of proving it at the major league level. He's never been a great hitter, but at least you need him to do enough. And I will tell you this, folks. Nick Ahmed is not going to hit 500 during the regular season. Nick Ahmed might hit 2 home runs all season, right? Like, don't get excited about Nick Ahmed's offense. Don't assume that his 500 batting average means he's going to hit anywhere close to 300. But if he hits 240, well, if he hits 240, that might be gravy. I mean,
well, that's league average. I mean, he's an average hitter.
Right. If he's an average hitter, we would probably be thankful.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But even if he's below average, with his glove being the way it is, he's probably good enough for the entire season, given the way that this team is being built, which is pitching and defense. And then when you look at Luciano and his track record, which is every time he's ever been promoted, he's always sucked. When he got promoted to high A, he sucked. When he got promoted to double A, he sucked. When he got promoted to triple A, he sucked. And then we promoted him anyway to shortstop. Because Farhan was trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And it didn't happen. And then there is winter ball. That winter ball did happen. No matter if, finally a Giants writer mentioned it. winter ball happened for Luciano and it was abysmal. It was so bad he left mid-season. And I'm just going to, until somebody tells me otherwise, Marco Luciano got cut by his winter ball team.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that. Like, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just going to assume that's what happened. And no, and until somebody denies it, Marco Luciano got cut by his winter ball team. That's how good he wasn't. And so when you put all of those things together, yeah, the spring training stats matter, right? They matter.
Yeah.
Which is good because there's a next guy on our list, Matthew, who's been having a pretty good spring.
Right. Well, you know, especially compared to last year. I mean, Michael Conforto is such an important part of this year. I mean, it's his second year of a 2-year contract where he opted in. This year, this spring, he's batting 250, which, okay, that's fine. That's average. He has 2 home runs. And what he also has is, he hasn't hit a home run yet. I'm sorry. He has no home runs. But what's really impressive of those is 406 on base. He has more walks than strikeouts. And so he hasn't really done anything to lose the job. And I think we'll be our opening day left fielder. He'll continue the streak, Ben, of left fielders opening, different left fielders on opening day, going back to Barry Bonds. What is this, 18 years now? I think it'll be the 18th year, something like that. Interestingly enough, the guy that's just ahead of him on batting average for the spring is Luis Matos. Luis Matos is batting 257. They're almost, well, I mean, and his on base is 333. Conforto's is 406. The big difference between the two is that Luis Matos has options and doesn't necessarily have to be on the roster to start the year. So, you know, I think that Luis Matos will start the season in AAA. Conforto has played well enough to give you hope that he is going to have a bounce back year. But if he doesn't, Ben, if he sucks it coming out, I see a path where Luis Matos, if he's hitting in Sacramento, could take over Conforto's spot.
Okay, this is where I. Okay, See, I'm looking at Conforto's OPS right now. He's hitting his slugging percentage is awful.
It is. It's 292. He has one extra base hit this spring. And meanwhile, just to put in perspective, Matos has 8 extra base hits.
Okay, look, this is why, okay, look, fan listeners, listen, we talk about baseball, but we also try to be funny, and sometimes we mix the two, and that's kind of why we picked this whole do spring training stats matter thing. Because it's funny, because they do, and they don't. And here's one of those situations where I think the spring training stats will not matter, but I kind of wish that they would. I agree. Michael Conforto is probably going to end up on the 26-man roster, and Luis Matos is not. And I think that's a travesty. I think that's a crime. I think that's robbery. I think Conforto is like, I think the world would be more just if he was getting paid to sit on his couch. Like, pay him the same amount of money as he's getting paid now, but just pay him to do that, to sit on his couch. I think the world would be more just if that was happening and Luis Matos was getting his roster spot. Like, I wish that Conforto had, I wished it then and I wish it now. I wish he had opted out. I hate this contract. I hated it when it was signed. I hated it all last year and I still hate it. I hate that he is stealing a roster spot from Luis Matos. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, this is a great example of business, you know, of the business decisions that have to be made as well as the baseball decisions. And Conforto wisely opted in because, as we've seen, the market, J.D. Davis got a pittance compared to what he was supposed to earn from the Giants. Conforto made the right decision to opt in, and that was his option.
Oh, he sure did. Yeah. He sure did. He absolutely did. And for all the people who apologize for these contracts continuously, Michael Conforto versus Luis Matos is my rebuttal. This is a travesty. It's a crime. There's nothing okay about this. This is lame. It sucks. It sucks for the Giants in terms of, like, performance on the field. It sucks in terms of long-term viability. Nobody's going to go out buying Conforto jerseys, okay? People would buy Matos jerseys, but you're not going to sell him because he's not going to be on the roster, okay? He might have had a good year last year, but he didn't, you know? Like, he sucked. And that's why these 1+1 contracts are so awful. And this is a case in point where the spring training stats don't matter because Conforto has his proven track record. Yeah, he's a proven track record of not playing for a year and then, you know, not playing for a year.
Right.
Literally and then figuratively. And yeah, but everybody points to 3 years ago. Well, 3 years ago, he got hurt. 4 years ago, this guy was good. I mean, we're talking about Michael Conforto being good 4 years ago, and that's our excuse for putting him on the roster. But there you go. Spring training stats don't matter because Conforto's going to steal Luis Matos' job. And that's a shame. But I agree. Spring training stats don't matter. And another example of that, Matthew, is
Joey Bart.
Who is the king of spring? Oh. I mean, if there was ever a guy who was the king of spring, it's Joey Bart.
He's doing it again this year. He's batting .417 with a .500 on base. He's looked really good at the plate, which is typical Joey Bart in the spring.
Yeah, he always looks good at the plate in the spring. And I bet you if you go and look at pitchers who've pitched to him, they've probably looked pretty good too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel it. I feel it in my bones. I have no reason to say that, right? Like, I'm on my third cocktail of the night. I'm an old man sitting in his closet. But I still feel like pitchers who pitched to Bart this season probably pitched well. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Like, the only thing that's going to keep Joey Bart on the roster is an injury. And even then, that's questionable. Because
they need 40-man spots.
Because they need 40-man spots. And Blake Sable is on the 40-man and is a catcher, right? So, like, even, you know, we got the scare. We got the Joey Bart saving injury. Maybe a week too early for Joey Bart's sake. But a ball was fouled off Patrick Bailey's hand. He has not played since, although everybody seems to be very optimistic that he will be back before opening day. So he may get some more spring training games in. But that's the thing, right? That's the reason why we talked about last week why Joey Bart should not be traded. Joey Bart should not be traded because he is a high-quality catcher. And if one of your two high-quality catchers gets hurt, you're going to want to have another one. And that's why you don't trade Joey Bart. And that's why he might get DFA'd, and that's okay. Right? You might lose Joey Bart for nothing. But that's okay because you want him for injury insurance. And sure enough, Patrick Bailey gets hurt. But he's probably going to be back before opening day. And we might need Joey Bart to free up openings on the 40-man roster. And we did say, Matthew, that we were going to talk about the 40-man roster. So maybe that's what we should do now?
Sure. And maybe we should start with catchers.
Maybe we should start with catchers.
Because Joey Bart is on the 40-man. There are four other catchers also on the 40-man, which is a lot.
It's redonkulous. It's redonkulous. None of them is Nasty Sugasti, which I like. Then who? Why, they don't matter.
So
I mean, okay, I'll take Blake. I'll take Sable.
Yeah, well, and the Giants signed a guy named Cooper Hummel, who is also on the 40-man. I knew nothing about Cooper Hummel, but looking...
Tell me why he should be there.
Well, but I'm looking. He's actually has major league experience. He played 5 games for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2019, 8 games in 2020. And then he played 14 games for Arizona in 2022, played 21 games for Seattle last year, which should tell you why he's on the Giants roster now. And then actually played 8 games for the Giants. Well, this is spring. So he's played 8 games so far this year for the Giants. So I think that there's there's a reason why he's on the roster. He is the Bart and Sable kind of, you know, insurance policy. But five catchers is way too many. So one of those catchers, and it's going to be Joey Bart, unless there's an injury, is going to be one of the ones that is going to be let go to create room on the 40-man.
Okay. I just want to make this. Okay. I agree with that. So I think we should paint the picture here a little bit more clearly as to why we're talking about the 40-man roster and talking about Joey Bart and why we need to get rid of him. There are a number of players who are not currently on the 40-man roster who have to get onto the 40-man roster in order to be on the opening day roster. And they're not on the 40-man roster, right? We just talked at length about Nick Ahmed. Not on the 40-man roster. Needs to be, right? We all know that, okay, everybody wants Ben to drink two Negronis, so they got to go out and get the Snell. We got to get the Snell-Groni, right? Well, if you were to get Blake Snell, you would need to remove somebody else to make room for him on the 40-man roster. But here's the thing, folks. We're not going to get no Snell-Gronis. We're going to have Mason Black. Mason Black's going to be our number five pitcher. And hang on, let me check here really closely. Oh, snap. He's not on the 40-man roster either. So we got to get Mason Black on the 40-man roster. And guess what? We only have one left-hander in our bullpen. Taylor. We need another one. It was going to be Ethan Small, you know, of the Long Island Smalls.
Until he injured his oblique.
It's right. He injured his oblique. So just a small injury there, but.
But that means he won't start the season and we need a left-hander in the bullpen.
Come on, man. Small, just a small injury.
I missed that. You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls. I'm sorry. Couldn't help it. And then who was the other? Was there another left-hander that also got hurt?
Well, Eric Miller was actually optioned. Eric Miller was one that they were talking about as being a guy, but then he was optioned this week to the minors. So it doesn't look like
he's
in line. So
that means he's not going to make it to the. He's probably you don't send a guy who might make it to the major league roster to the minor league camp. So Eric Miller, who is on the 40-man roster, also okay. So one left-hander has been optioned, one left-hander has been hurt, and those are the only other left-handed relievers that you have besides Taylor Rogers, so you need another, and everybody really likes Amir Garrett. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they like him. He's the next man up.
They like him as the fourth left-hander.
Right, yes. As the next up, like, yes.
Yeah, and so he's the fourth best, and guess what? Fourth best is now second best. And so they like him, but he's not on the 40-man. So you got to get him on the 40-man. And then there's this whole bullpen battle, right? For the last, we know we have five guys in the bullpen, but we need
three more.
And who is that going to be? Well, a lot of the names that they keep throwing around are Dalton Jeffries, Landon Roop. Neither of them are on the 40-man roster. So we got to make room for as many as five guys to get on to the 40-man roster. Good news is
we have one spot.
We
already
have an open spot.
Yeah. There's only 39 right currently on the 40-man spot. So we've got one already. But now that's we need to find four others that will be DFA'd to make room for what we're thinking will be the final additions to the 40-man.
Right. And that's why we're saying Joey Bart. Right? Because we have five catchers on the 40-man roster.
Yep.
Patrick Bailey, if he goes on, if let's say Patrick Bailey stays hurt, he's not going to go on the 60 days. So he's going to go. What is it? 10 days? It's the 10 day, right?
Yeah.
10 day IL.
Well, he's going to go on the 10 day. I think there's, if a pitcher's this longer, I don't remember, but it's different. But still, he's on the IL, but it's not the 60 day. He still counts to be on the roster.
Right. So he still counts against the 40-man roster. So that means you'd need to carry at least three catchers and put one of them on the 26-man. Well, you just told us why Cooper Hummel has to be saved. I would cut everybody before I cut Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. He's, wow. Cooper.
Well, there's also Blake Sable. But Blake Sable could also be an outfielder. So he's got a little flexibility, but he's listed as a catcher on the 40.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying if Patrick is hurt.
Right, right.
You need two catchers.
Yes. And
one is going to be... It puts Tom Murphy as your starter.
And based on the spring, it would be Joey Bart.
It would be Joey Bart, but then because of all of this 40-man roster pressure, it might be that Joey gets cut no matter what.
That's true.
And he's not being traded, folks. He's not.
After we saw what happened to J.D. Davis, he's not getting traded.
Yeah, J.D. Davis, by the way, signed with the Oakland Athletics. You know them. The team that the city doesn't want anymore because the team is so bad. No, that's not right. Because the team's owner is so bad.
More accurate, yes.
I was going to say something worse than that, but I didn't want to get into hyperbole. But I feel very strongly about the A's ownership. But anyway, the point is that J.D. Davis is now an A, and he signed for $2 million. Remember, he thought the Giants were going to give him 6.9. Instead, they gave him 1.1, and now he's getting $2 million more from the A's. And there were more than one suitor. The Mets lost out. Now, maybe the Mets lost out because they offered him a little bit more and he decided to stay in the Bay Area.
Could be.
But they didn't offer him a lot bit more. And certainly nobody was offering him anywhere near $6.9 million. So that's how that worked out for J.D. Davis, for those of you who were curious. But the point is that now Joey Bart is the next in line. He's not going to be traded. He's going to be DFA'd. I would bet another Negroni on that. In fact, I will.
All right.
I'm doing that. You heard it right now. If Joey Bart gets traded instead of DFA'd by the Giants, I will drink another Negroni.
All right. Well, and I think that we're looking at four guys that are going to need to be DFA'd to open up the five spots that we think are needed, right? Because we have an open spot. So you're going to need to fill Mason Black, Nick Ahmed, Amir Garrett, Dalton Jeffries, and Landon Ruby. You got to make room for those five guys. We have an open spot. Joey Bart is number one. We think he's going to be DFA'd. I personally think that David Villar and Brett Wisely.
Whoa, you're taking two?
I am, because you're going to take the next one.
Why are you taking...
Well, because I know how much you love Brett Wisely. I didn't want you to have to like...
I don't know why. Yet, no, you know how much I hate... You. I can't believe you just did it. That's a big brother just being... I just got big brothered.
And I'm feeling my cocktail. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I started reading the list and I got excited. But let's start with David Villar.
Those are both shocking. They are both shocking.
But, you know, David Villar was the starting third baseman.
He was our starting third baseman last year.
Yeah. Until he wasn't, right? And until J.D. Davis and Casey Schmidt took that away from him. Mainly because, you know, and David Villar's had a good spring this year, but not good enough to supplant, Chapman and Schmidt and maybe even Luciano, who there's talk about moving him to third. So I think David Villar's time has come. I don't think not that he deserves it, but I just think the numbers game has proven that David Villar would be a logical person for a DFA because they just don't have the room when you've got Casey Schmidt and others.
I'm kind of shocked that he's still on the team, quite honestly.
You kind of forget that he's on the team.
Yeah. Well, he had a lost year last year.
Yeah.
Right? Like he started as the third baseman. He was horrifically bad. He got sent to AAA and he did not redeem himself. Last year
right. And the year before he was the Pacific Coast League MVP, which is
folks,
weird.
There's going to be years in your life, times in your life where it's the time to prove it. And most of you will prove it. And it will be the pivotal moment of your lives. And then there's David Villar. I mean, that was his year. It was his year to prove it. It was his year to take control, to grab it by...
If David Villar has a great year last year, we're not even talking about Matt Chapman.
We're not talking about Matt Chapman. No,
we don't even know who Casey Schmidt is.
If David Villar has a great year last year, we might make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? He was supposed to be the starting third baseman, and he was so bad that he was back in AAA before it was summer. And never redeemed himself. So to find himself in this position, this is what we call too little too late. This is where spring training stats do not matter. And it is too little too late. David Villar absolutely going to be cut. right? Like, if it, you know, in some ways, I think he might be cut sooner than Joey Bart. Yes, agreed.
All right, next one. I forget. Right. I don't even remember who I mentioned. Who did?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. Folks, once upon a time, this guy hit 2 home runs in February, and you all went crazy. Giants Nation thought he was the next thing. He was the second coming. He was going to be the guy until you all got excited about Meckler 2 months later, because, you know, easy come, easy go for you all. Brett Wisely is exactly the kind of guy who, he's a fringe 40 man guy. And fringe 40 men guys get cut. Brett Wisely is getting cut because he's a fringe 40 man guy.
Right.
And
well, especially when you have Tyler Fitzgerald, who fills the same exact role as Brett Wisely, right, only better.
Only he can actually play outfield defense. So I regret to inform you all that that the man who stole innings from Bryce Johnson and Luis Matos is probably going to be cut. Even though he didn't deserve to be in the outfield ever. And never did anything interesting at the plate outside of February. Brett Wisely is gone. I'm not afraid to say it. He's getting cut, and I'm kind of happy about it.
All right.
Because I'm a horrible person. You know what? You're all thinking it. You're all thinking it. I'm saying it. By the way, this week, folks, I'm drinking a Long Island iced tea. And that's what they do.
So the fourth person getting cut, my prediction. And I'm going this because, so there's a few options, right? We've talked about Otto Lopez, who was supposed to, but you need, Otto Lopez has an option left this year, and you need shortstop depth. You just can't bank. I mean, as we're seeing, we need shortstop depth. So I don't think Otto Lopez is the guy.
There's 4 guys that can play shortstop. Really? Okay, keep talking.
Yeah, I think Otto Lopez is going to be kept in favor of, well, he's going to be there. And instead, the fourth guy that's going to be DFA'd, my prediction, is Heliot Ramos. I just don't think that the Giants like him. They haven't given him any opportunities. I think that he wasn't drafted by the current administration. I just feel like that he's not their guy, and they're going to cut ties with him before long, because you're going to make room for guys like Bryce Eldridge or whatever else that are coming up. I think Heliot Ramos has been given his opportunity, and I feel like that he's the guy that's going to get DFA'd in exchange.
I think Heliot Ramos really got jobbed mostly by stepdad Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, who never really gave him an opportunity, even when he was up on the major league roster.
Didn't want him there.
Yeah.
Didn't want him there. And that was clear. You know, mom's new boyfriend, our new stepdad, didn't like him. And he got really jobbed by that. However, I will say this. Fitzgerald can play shortstop. Luciano can play shortstop. We're saying we need to make room for Nick Ahmed, who can play shortstop. Tyro Estrada can play shortstop. And then Casey Schmidt can play shortstop. I don't think we need a sixth guy that can play shortstop in Otto Lopez. So I think Heliot Ramos is ahead of Otto Lopez. And I think Otto Lopez is just one of those guys of, like, not in the organization, not, you know, not one of your guys, kind of like, okay, but not good enough. So I think he gets cut before Ramos.
I think he's the shiny new toy, Ben. I think he's the one that Farhan fell in love with and got cheap and, you know,
He can play outfield. He can play out. Maybe he doesn't play it well. I don't know. But he has played there in the major leagues. And so... yeah, I could see that. I could see Farhan being like, I like Lopez better than Ramos because Lopez is kind of my guy because I found him off the scrap heap. And we all know that Farhan loves nothing better than a deal. I mean, that's the only reason Chapman is our third baseman, because it was a deal. The only way Snell is signing with the Giants is because it's going to be a prorated contract. You know, like, he loves, you know, like Lamont Wade Jr. off the scrap heap, you know, like... Yaz, probably one of the best Giants that we have. off the scrap heap. You know, like, these are the guys that Farhan likes, so you're right. Ramos was a guy who was already here.
Yeah.
Kind of doesn't matter how big and fast he is and how much better he may have gotten. I think this is a guy, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but you're probably right. You're probably right. Lopez is probably more safe than Ramos, but I think they're both on the line.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to throw this.
Okay.
What? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're going to throw, what are you throwing? What are you throwing, Ben?
One last name out there. I'm going to throw one last name out there. He's a pitcher. We already mentioned him because he got optioned to AAA. And otherwise, I don't know who he is. And I figure if you're a left-handed pitcher and you get optioned to AAA, how good can you be? Sounds like 40-man cut bait for me, and that is Eric Miller.
All right. Yeah, well, I think that because left-hand pitchers are such a big deal, I don't think he would be kind of lower on the list than others. I think even a mediocre left-hander will stay above someone like Ramos.
Well, he is our sixth man on this list, and we said we only needed four cuts.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
So two of these guys will probably stay.
Yeah. Yep.
And I personally hope it's Ramos, and you're right, it will probably be Miller. But you're saying Lopez and Miller.
Yeah, because I mean, and you know, Ramos is another guy. You know, he's batting 118 in the spring. You know,
but spring training stats don't matter, Matthew. Unless they do. And I think in this context, they don't.
All right.
I think it's more about age and where you are in your progression. And this is why I think VR and Wisely are ahead of Ramos.
On the cut list. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what also matters is your pedigree. And Ramos has a high pedigree. For better or for worse.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out in just a matter of a week and a half or so. Okay. Well, I think it's time for our trivia question answer. If you recall, our trivia question was, going back to the 2014 season, the pitching rotation consisted of Matt Cain, Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Ryan Vogelsong, and 24-year-old Madison Bumgarner. But two other pitchers had at least 12 starts during the 2014 season. Can you name them? And bonus points if you can name the only other pitcher besides those two to make one start that year.
That's right. And I said Samardzija, Cueto, and Sandoval.
All right. The answer is Jake Peavy
and
Yusmeiro Petit. Both had 12 starts that year. I think Matt Cain actually was injured for much of the year. And the bonus answer is Chris Heston, who made his major league debut in 2014 and had one start that year. But he was really known for 2015 when he pitched the most recent no hitter the Giants have had and made 31 starts that year from 2015. So that's the answer to our trivia question.
And Peavy and Petit were both amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they were the reasons why the Giants, won the World Series that year. Well, one of the main reasons, because they actually came in and solidified a rotation that was a little shaky halfway through the year.
Yeah, and Chris Heston's no-hitter might be the last legitimately good thing that happened to the Giants.
Arguably true, yes.
Yusmeiro Petit, by the way, one of the few Major League Baseball players to lose a perfect game after recording 26 outs.
Oh, that's right.
As a Giant.
Oh, man, you made me feel...
He lost a perfect game on the last out. Oh. You were statistically more likely
to pitch that
to throw a perfect game than to not throw a perfect game when you reach that point of the game.
Yeah. Significantly more, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, significantly more. And he did not. He gave up a relatively clean single. I think it was to right center. And it was very unfortunate.
Oh, you just reminded me. Now
one of the few moments... It's one of the few moments that I actually remember where I was exactly. I remember where I was exactly when Matt Cain threw his perfect game, and I remember exactly where I was when Yusmeiro Petit lost his perfect game.
Were they in the same spot?
No, one was at a train station, and I was about to get on the Starlight Express to go to Seattle. Mm-hmm. That was when Matt Cain threw his perfect game, and I was at a sushi place waiting to pick up my takeout order when Yusmeiro lost his.
All right, so no more sushi for you. Okay.
I haven't eaten sushi since.
That's right. as
that's
one
not
would.
True. That's not. No, that's not true. I love sushi.
All right. Looking ahead to our final episode of Happy Hour, Ben, I'm drinking a cocktail that I'm calling Mixed Feelings, which I think accurately describes how I'm feeling about Happy Hour moving. Ben, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a cocktail called Sweet Goodbye. Even though Happy Hour is not dying, it's moving to another show. All you have to do is subscribe to a new podcast. That's it. We might get a little verklempt in that episode because we recorded it before this one. It's not the last Happy Hour. Happy Hour is not dying. It's not going away. But I'm still drinking the Sweet Goodbye.
The Sweet Goodbye because he's moving to the suburbs. All right.
That's right. The Sweet Goodbye because he's moving to the suburbs after he married that hottie.
All right. Well, on that note, folks, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget to rate us on the podcast listener of your choice. That would very much help the show. And don't forget to follow us on the socials on the platform formerly known as Twitter and on Instagram and Threads and Mastodon. You can find us at Giant Cocktails. Please do so. We really love to interact with all of our listeners. On that note, Ben, I think it's time to say goodbye. Until next week, cheers, my friend.
Only one more show until opening day.
Woo!
Woohoo! Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Thursday's opening day, and that means our new show is going to be on opening day.
Is Thursday the opening day? I thought Wednesday was.
What is the matter with you?
I don't know. I'm old.
How many times do I have to tell you
I'm old
you
and drunk, Ben. I don't remember. Oh, that's right. That's right. This is the week after. Ha ha ha!